I just love getting unfiltered and unfettered. And now, here's Tony and Fran.
And from the Monolith Studio 1B, this is UFUF 142, the podcast you've been anticipating since the last one. This is your charmingly arrogant co-host, Tony the Bully Opinionist, along with my partner, a man who never met a golf course he didn't like, the Pope of the podcast, Sir Francis One. Kiss the ring, Fran. How are you?
I'm good. That's a true statement. I've yet to meet a golf course I did not like.
What kind of clubs you got, Francis? What brand?
I have a set of Ping. It's called Ping Zing Ones. They're from the 90s, early 90s. I re-gripped them, re-chromed them. I make my own stuff a lot. So, what's the set?
Use any Callaway stuff?
I used to. I had a set of Callaways before I got these.
I got Callaway stock, so.
Do you?
Quite a bit of it. It's well, cheap and it's doing well.
You should
well.
Be doing better because Nike has dumped out of the golf business. So.
Well, and you know, there's a whole thing about when Arnie died and he was involved with Callaway and that elevated their...
And Phil's a Callaway user, so he's...
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But no, I got pings right now, and so...
It's pretty good stuff. Francis, we're choking in East Tennessee.
The fires are unbelievable. I mean, we might have to evacuate the studio at some point in the next month. I mean, so East Tennessee is surrounded by wildfires. The smoke is visible now here in Knoxville.
Oh, Wednesday morning when I got up, I couldn't see across the street. It was so bad. And it was not fog.
Yeah.
It was smoke.
And there's what they call particulate... particulate air quality, which means there's actual, you can see the ash now in Knoxville. So,
And this is all up, so if you don't understand the geography of East Tennessee, here's the way it works. To the east of us, we got the Smoky Mountains. To the west of us, we got what's called the Cumberland Plateau. So what the smoke does is it drifts down, settles into the valley, because we're in the Tennessee River Valley, and it has nowhere to go. Right. So we're hoping for rain. Just so it would
tomorrow,
knock
them. I think.
And they're saying all of these fires. Well, I've heard two things. One, that they were arson, but really what I heard was they're all created by people.
Right.
Not necessarily arson, but carelessness.
Yeah. They caught two guys.
Yeah.
They busted two guys for setting some of the fires.
They have caught some people for setting them. All right. We got a lot of stuff to talk about tonight. We got some goofy stuff and shotgunning the news. We're going to talk about transition time. We've got a very, very special... I have a very, very special long-distance dedication for all the Hillary voters tonight. I just want you to know, you know, we care.
We're thinking of you.
We're thinking of you. And we're going to do... It's a UFUF first. We're actually going to retire one of our segments tonight.
Oh, yeah, right. We're going to retire a bit.
It's going to break your heart, Francis. I know it is.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, the end of something is the start of something new.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there goes my free run. I used to be money at this.
Yeah.
The segment we're retiring, by the way.
All right, we'll get to that. Let's check on the news. Fran, many episodes ago, I can't remember the exact episode now. Sometime I need to maybe go out and catalog some of the stuff that we've done so I can refer back to it like actual professionals. But we started a UFUF A-Hole Hall of Fame.
Oh, yeah.
You remember
I do remember that.
We had one of the initial entries was Kim Jong-un and Kanye West.
Yes.
Who at a concert the other day told his concert attendees he didn't vote, but if he would have voted, he would have voted for Trump. What do you make of that?
Well, look, for all you South Park followers, Kanye is a gay fish. So, he's not firing on all cylinders. Maybe he's oxygen deprived. He's just dumb. I mean, he's just a dumb person. Can we not say that? I know he thinks...
I think he can,
He believes he's the...
I mean, it'll make you a racist, but you can say it.
Well, I mean, yeah. And J-Law thinks I'm a... what did she call me when I... Because her nudie pictures... popped up in my... Sex criminal.
That's it. Yeah.
Because our pictures popped up on my Twitter feed. He claims to be the creator of our generation or something, right? The ultimate intellect of our generation, and I'm having a hard time grasping that.
He said he was going to run in 2020, which we mocked, and now it frightens me slightly.
Well, yeah, shit. I mean, I'm gonna go put a $10 bet down. I mean, sure. That's a retirement plan begging to be had.
Oh goodness! All right,
but nice. How would this affect him?
What?
Saying that he supported Trump?
Well, yeah. Yeah,
that's a big gamble.
Because they said people booed, and some people actually started to walk out. Yeah. And you know, there was a big, you know, all these assholes always start tweeting,
right?
And there's a big stream of anti-Kanye tweets.
Never Kanye now. Never Kanye.
All right, next. So it amazes me the number of people that will capitulate once somebody else wins.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Bernie Sanders comes out and says, if you're serious about reforming the big spenders, I will cooperate with you.
I mean, is this a dude trying to stay relevant for 4 years so he can run? Because he feels like, had Hillary not conspired with the DNC and that Wasserman Schultz shoot.
The Debbie Wasserman Schultz?
Yeah.
He can't stay relevant. He's never been relevant.
Well, but he was on the national scene, right?
He was, during this election.
And there was a whole movement at the convention for him because Hillary and Schultz conspired to screw him out of the nomination because they knew, rightly so, he was never going to win as an avowed socialist. He could never be president, right? He'd never win that. He had no chance. But does he feel like this is going to keep him in the news long enough so he can mount another run, which, by the way, starts up in 2 years?
That's right.
You just get that on your radar.
That's right. Don't think that people aren't already thinking about
this
it.
This is your save the date moment. In 2 years from now, there'll be announcements.
I just thought it was funny that Bernie came out and was like, well, you know, I'll work with the guy.
I never saw the guy's appeal. Like, he had a big following, but he talked like he's an outsider. He's been in Congress for 30 years.
Yeah, that's all he's ever done.
And now he's doing whatever a politician always does. Like you said, right. They capitulate to the winner and say, hey, you know, don't forget about me. See, he's got an election in 2 years.
Right.
Right? He's got to keep his seat.
So, yeah.
So you got to he's got to pad that.
But he probably will. He's kept it for 30 years. The same idiots are going to vote for him all over again.
Yeah, probably true.
But speaking of capitulation, let's go next.
We're going to South Carolina and Oklahoma and Arizona and North Dakota and New Mexico. We're going to California and Texas and New York. And we're going to South Dakota and Oregon and Washington and Michigan. And then we're going to Washington, D.C. to take back the White House. Yeah!
That never gets old. Man.
No, it does not.
Yeah!
That is generally considered as the scream that ended Howard Dean.
Yeah.
I kind of don't get it. Like, I kind of get it. It's a little weird, but, like, it ended him, man.
It did. Absolutely stopped his campaign dead in his tracks. And he was he wasn't lying. I mean,
right. He
was rolling at that point. I think that's why he was excited. But it's funny that you hear that in that clip. He said, take back the White House.
Right.
So that language didn't originate in 08 to take it back from Obama. You know, this is language that's been used all the time.
So anyways, he came out and his quote is, I don't think we should oppose any idea that comes out of Donald Trump's mouth just because it's Donald Trump.
I mean, I like that. I think that's...
I think that's admirable.
I think that's true as well. I mean...
But look, again...
Look, the guy's not a dope. I mean, Trump's not a moron.
It goes back to... people are all of a sudden starting to capitulate in big ways.
Well, yeah. There's capitulate like Bernie Sanders, and then there's accepting the inevitability, which is the guy's the president of the United States.
Yeah.
Regardless of what Democrats and these leftist morons who are terrorizing, you know, city streets in the United States... The guy's going to be the president of the United States.
Yep.
It's just the facts. If Dean wants to be the DNC chair, well, I mean, I like that measured response. I think that's smart. That's not hyper partisan. I mean, I like it.
Yeah.
That's kind of capitulation I can get behind. Bernie Sanders is just, who the hell knows what he's doing? But maybe.
I just thought it was funny that Howard Dean
would come out. A scream ended his career, and maybe some subtlety will bring it back. You never know. And
maybe so, because he wants, like I say, he wants to be the head of the DNC. They need somebody after Debbie Wasserman Schultz.
She was a disaster.
She was hideous.
A disaster. How she's still a congresswoman is, I mean,
yeah,
that's staggering. I mean, that's another show.
Well, it is staggering, but she's still a congressman because all politics are local. So
well, right. That's right.
That's why. But on the national scene, goodness gracious. All right, let's go next.
gentlemen. Now, I will admit, coming here tonight wasn't the easiest thing for me. There have been a few times this past week when all I wanted to do was just to curl up with a good book or our dogs and never leave the house again.
Fran, that was Hillary Clinton's first public appearance after she lost the election.
After she got hit by the lightning.
She looked horrible.
Wow. I was like, unpack those bags, lady, and stay a while.
Did her makeup lady just quit?
I mean, the bags under her eyes, you wouldn't be able to... How much would you have to pay to get them on an airplane? Holy crap. I mean, she looked terrible. I don't know that there was lighting enough to fix that. I mean, it was just... I mean, honestly, no kidding. It was startling when you saw the picture.
I mean, I don't like her, and I'm not trying to cheap shot her, but it was startling when I saw it.
Because at first I thought it was some internet bullshit. You know, I thought that was Photoshop. But then when actual news services are saying, no, this is an actual picture from our footage.
Yeah.
I was just like, holy crap.
Well, I took that clip from the YouTube, and I watched the entire thing, and she looked
wow
horrible.
I mean,
and, you know, we've talked about, friend, I know we've talked about this, because even Obama... 8 years ago, Obama was a young, energetic...
Bouncing his step, yeah.
Being the president takes its toll.
Yeah, don't matter who you are, yeah. Don't matter how young you are.
That's right.
He's one of the youngest.
Right.
I mean,
if you look at a comparison, and I've seen this somewhere, of guys when they took office and guys when they leave office, you're the leader of the free world.
Yeah.
It wears on you. I wonder what it would have done to her had she have won.
And, you know,
it makes me concerned... seeing her there.
Yeah, if this is what the campaign did to her, yeah. Because there were pictures of her in 08 when she lost to Obama in the primary. I mean, and I get that was 8 years ago, but damn.
I mean, it
was brutal. Now, you compare Bush and Obama, and I would say Bush probably aged more. He looked worse coming out. But Obama looks 30 years older than he did when he...
I mean, Obama doesn't look bad, but all his hair is going gray, and he, you know...
And it was jet black when he went in.
He's not
a
the
young
same
dude.
Guy
yeah.
going in.
But she just, I mean, that was
scary.
That was frightening, yeah.
I was like, yeah.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Well, and then you couldn't look at... I'm looking at that thinking, what? Because that was my first thought. Did all her people quit?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, good Lord.
All right, next. Fran, Duck Dynasty is done. They're doing their last season.
Yeah, I mean, I never really watched them a lot. I mean...
I don't watch them at all.
Yeah.
But at various times during our podcast, like, we have a sign on the wall that says on the air since 2013.
Yeah.
You realize we've been on the air.
Yeah. Yeah.
142 episodes, 3 years.
Yeah.
And at one point, Duck Dynasty took up a few episodes of our podcast.
Right, when he... Yeah, because he said some things about...
The homos.
Homosexuals, and then... I think it got bigger when the network canned him.
Yeah.
And then, what was the restaurant that took all this stuff out of the...
Country Kitchen. No, it was
for goodness sakes.
That Gitche place. I hate to go there.
I don't go. I don't like it.
Yeah. Country. No. Oh, damn it.
Oh, for goodness. They got like rocking chairs out front.
Checkerboards
and shit.
That's the place. Cracker Barrel.
Yeah, I cannot believe I couldn't think of that. Yeah, they got rid of their merchandise.
Yeah, and then we're forced to put it all back in.
Well, because it's like, you know, the people who wouldn't buy that merchandise don't come to your restaurant anyway. So you just lost all your revenue.
I wonder if you could have almost used that as a precursor to our current election, right? Because they banned it out of this kind of political correctness, and then
the
constituency said,
no. Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. Anyways.
Yeah, the people offended by that stuff don't go to Cracker Barrel.
Right.
So, I mean, yeah, it's...
Anyways, it's the end of a dynasty.
Yeah.
The Duck Dynasty. I think I've watched one episode.
You know what's funny? I watched one after I read the history of the father and his
Robertson,
interaction in Terry Bradshaw's career.
Yeah.
You know, when Bradshaw tried to kind of distance himself from that, and then Robertson said, look, man. Had I stayed on the campus, he never would have played quarterback in the NFL. And that's true.
Yeah. I watched one episode when somebody at work said, oh, man, you got to watch this show. And I watched one episode and I said, no, not so much. Okay. But it's been popular, they're wrapping it up. Let's go to hardcore politics.
Let's get hardcore.
transition time.
Yep.
And within 5 days of Trump winning the election, the media comes out and says it's in complete disarray.
Yeah, I mean, he made some moves. You know, he demoted Christie. Christie was running the transition team. He demoted Christie because Christie basically didn't support Trump at a moment of truth. Then Christie up and resigned. Pence has taken over the transition team, which is not unusual. Cheney ran Bush's transition team. I mean,
yeah,
Pence has got a working knowledge of the government.
Once you win the election, doesn't it make sense to pass it to the guy that's going to be there a little bit? I don't know.
Well, and you want to give it to the guy who's worked in the federal government and understands the, you know, all the levers and knobs. You know what I mean? And so, I mean, that makes sense to me. Plus, Christie, look, I mean, let's face it, Christie was a whore throughout this whole thing. I mean, he sold himself to wherever was going to get him advanced. He wanted to be the Attorney General because, you know, he was one. You know,
he never was a former federal prosecutor.
Yeah, never missed a chance to say it. So, I didn't know what to think because I never used to follow, because it never used to be a thing, right? It never used to be a big deal. And then I hear David Axelrod, who was Obama's right-hand henchman, say, yeah, well, I mean, by this point in our transition in 08, we did not have anybody in place. We had never even made nominations, and I don't remember anyone criticizing us. It was a stark moment of truth out of him on MSNBC.
Yeah, because Axelrod's a...
Yeah, I mean, well, he's been the mouthpiece even after he left.
He's a slicker version of Carville.
Yeah,
but
yeah, exactly right.
Yeah, so... let me say this, too. And this is going to sound silly. I've been studying up on Trump since he got elected. Been reading the Art of the Deal, been going back and looking at some things. Here's a couple of things. And he proved this throughout the election. I think we've already talked about this. He's not afraid to fire somebody until he gets the right person.
Right.
You know else who wasn't afraid to fire people until he got the right person? Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not trying to make a comparison.
Yeah, I don't think this is going to be a team of rivals.
But. I'm just saying you need to start understanding who this guy is.
Yeah.
And it would not surprise me if some of his initial appointees get fired in 6 months or a year and he replaces him. Because he's a businessman. And if it ain't working, it ain't working the way he wants.
Right.
He's going to make the change. I really think that. Now, it also doesn't surprise me that most of his appointees are political insiders.
Right.
You got to get those guys.
He's not draining the swamp, per se. He's actually bringing some of these swamp creatures right back into the White House.
Because he has to.
Right. Right, and that goes back to something we've been saying forever. Back when Hillary was, you know, look, you could say a lot of crap when you're campaigning. When it gets time to govern, all that goes out the window.
Right.
It's all crap.
Well, yeah.
Right? It could drain the swamp. It's a catchy slogan. Although, as Trump himself admitted on the 60 Minutes interview, he never liked it. He used it. It was catchy, so they went with it. Because he's a brand guy, and it sounded good.
Right.
But he never liked it for one simple reason. You can't do it. You're going to have swamp creatures in your administration. That's just the way it is.
Well, and if you study, which I have, corporate culture. So let's talk about corporate cultures for a minute. And I've read quite a few studies that say when you start a new job, as you've done, not in the
a year ago.
Too distant past, that it will take anywhere from 6 months to 3 years for you to understand the culture of that corporation, find your space, be comfortable, understand how things operate. Now we're talking about a president that's got 4 years. They need to hit the ground running.
Right.
And then, like you said, then what surprised me was Uncle Joe Biden, he talked the other day and he said, hey, when we got inaugurated, we weren't ready. We weren't ready on day one.
Right. Who the hell is ready on day one? Let's just be honest.
So, this is going to be... It's going to be different. Here's the other thing I read about... Here's the other thing I understand about Trump from reading the Art of the Deal. And when I started thinking about this, I said, yeah, this makes sense. Now, I'm surprised that he got elected because it's politically career-ending. But here's what Trump does. And I'm gonna throw this out there, and then we're gonna talk about this 6 months, maybe a year from now. That's what he does. He does the deal. He likes to do that, and he starts that by asking for something that's impossible to receive, that he knows he's not gonna get.
Right.
But in the business world, you know, you ask for $1 million because you want $750,000.
Right.
So when Trump says he wants to ban all the Muslims, he doesn't want to ban all the Muslims. He wants something there. He wants enhanced
right.
screening or something else. Now, politically, it surprises me that didn't kill him. But that's how he operates.
See, but it's hard to kill someone politically who's not a political animal.
Well, that's true. But when he says he wants to build the wall, right. he's going to build this big, beautiful... He never thinks he's going to build the wall.
That's right. That's right.
What he wants is immigration, some compromise. Now, I just don't know politically how much it's going to hurt him. Because I've already seen some of the crazies.
Yeah.
When he said that he looks forward to seeking Obama's counsel, I saw a whole lot of tweets about, dude, we didn't elect you to seek Obama's counsel.
Yeah, he needs to be careful about some of that because, look, he tuned these people up, and that might come back to bite him. This 60 Minutes interview, I think, shocked a lot of people. You know, when they got to the abortion issue and the, what was the other issue we talked about? We said, look, these things, it's same-sex marriage.
He doesn't care about that.
Yeah, Leslie Stahl asked him about that. He goes, why would I bother with that? Number one, I got more important things to do. Number two, that's been settled by the courts.
Right.
That's a pretty definitive statement. Like, so if the court has answered, he's not going to worry about it. I admire that stance. That's not why the people elected him. They elected him on the promise of he's going to make America great again, meaning he's going to make it white, blue-eyed, blonde-haired for them to walk the streets at night. And I don't see him saying that now. In interviews, he's being the Trump I grew up with in Atlantic City.
I honestly think that the people you just mentioned are a real minority of the people who voted him, but they're a vocal minority.
They are a huge voice, right? And social media allows them to project that voice across the country.
And they should have known better, because if you listen to our podcast, we've been telling you that for a year and a half.
And look, there's a huge... I think the segment of people that voted for him because they absolutely could not live with themselves to vote for Hillary is bigger than the group who voted for him because they want him there. But those people who want him there are going to be disappointed. Those people who voted for him because they think he's going to change abortion fooled themselves. They weren't paying attention. They want to whitewash, and this is a lot of Christians. A lot of Christians did this. They whitewashed all his other sins with the big chip of, well, he's going to fix abortion, so we're just going to have to swallow that other crap. And I'm like, that's a load of shit. I even have friends telling me, oh, well, I voted for Mike Pence. I'm like, dude, you're a dumbass. You didn't vote for Mike. Just own it. You voted for the guy. Accept it. You know that he's scum. You know that he's as bad as her. You picked him. Admit it. This is what the guy is. And all he's doing is proving that. Now, does that make him a bad president? Who knows? I think the fact that he's willing, as you say, and even at this early in the game, he's shaking stuff up, I think that works well for him. I think that's going to benefit him as time moves along. So who knows if he's going to be a bad president. He's not a nice guy. If anyone thought he was the angel to her devil, well, then you're an idiot. Because he's not.
If you think that, you didn't read his book. Because in his book, he tells you he's not a nice guy.
Right.
He's pretty much upfront about it.
But does that disqualify him for president? Probably not.
But let me tell you, in reading his book, I also see, and I know that the guy that ghosted his book said he didn't write it, I wrote it, and the guy's a demagogue or whatever. But, you know, you got to take what's available to you. But also, there's some good qualities. Like, one of the things, and we're seeing it right now, is he doesn't hold grudges against enemies.
Right.
He's invited Ted Cruz. For God's sakes, he's meeting with Mitt Romney.
To be Secretary of State.
And Mitt Romney said, don't vote for this guy.
Called him all kinds of names.
I know it.
As much as a Mormon could do, you know. Yeah, Ted Cruz basically said he was the devil.
Yeah. So, I mean, for me, I think that's positive to say, okay, I won.
Now let's govern. Yeah.
And
I guarantee you, there are people sharper than people who voted for him because he was going to change the government, he was going to change the country, who are sharper than their knives because he said, yes, I would absolutely put Democrats on my cabinet. I couldn't believe he said that out loud.
I know. Well, he's one of the leading candidates for the UN ambassador is an openly gay guy, which blows all you LGBTQers.
And his campaign manager was a woman.
The first woman
to ever lead a campaign to the White House.
Kind of blows your misogyny.
Blows a lot of stuff. Ben Carson is going to be the Secretary of Education, which for another reason blows my mind. But, he and the Republican Party had a more diverse campaign than the Democrats did. This racism is just a knee-jerk reaction to assuage their guilt to that. You know, that's all they're doing is yelling racism, racism, racism.
Well,
while he fills his cabinet and his team with blacks, women, and homosexuals.
But that's what the left does. They name calls.
Oh, the hypocrisy is brutal, though.
It is,
and it's starting on the other side now too. This is going to be a tough 4 years, right? Because now no Democrat can complain without a Republican or a conservative going berserk. I'm like, really, bro? You just spent 8 years crying like a little baby. You have to now accept the fact Democrats are going to cry and complain every time your guy does something.
They are.
That's what happened for 8 years. Every time Obama blinked one eye and not the other, well, oh, he's a damn Muslim. I mean, you're just going to have to get used to that. That's the way it is. Don't be chooches like the Democrats have been in these past 2 weeks.
Well,
don't be jerk-offs. Accept the fact that they get to do that now because you got to do it. Democrats, on the other hand, don't have that leeway. Because they bitched for 8 years about obstructionism, and now all they're doing is trying to obstruct. Well, that, to me, invalidates your argument. I mean, I just don't... The tit-for-tat stuff, I can't...
At this point, I'm tired of hearing the Hillary voters wanting me... And, you know, if you listen to this podcast, you know neither Fran or I voted for either one of these candidates. But I'm tired of hearing the Hillary voters say, I just want you to know how I feel. I just want you to know... I don't care how you feel.
Never asked you.
Don't care. Didn't ask you. I don't want your instructions on how I'm supposed to act. And again,
yeah,
I'm coming off as a Trump supporter. I didn't vote for the man, but I've always voted conservative. You don't need to tell me how to act now that, you know, or what I need to do, or what I need to do to understand how you feel. Don't care. Don't give
a
shit.
Nope.
Stop posting stupid shit on social media.
Go back to posting your food, for God's sake.
And Fran, let me lay this to rest. I talked to you about this right before we went on the air. I've got a blog post prepared. Maybe I'll put it up tonight about why the popular vote doesn't matter. It really is irrelevant because I keep seeing people say, yeah, "Well, Hillary won. Hillary won the popular vote." Let me explain this to you. We elect presidents through the Electoral College. Okay, so what that means is that some states are important to candidates and others aren't. So, for example, New York and California are two of the three most popular states in the union. It's California, Texas, New York. A Republican is not going to carry California or New York. So it doesn't matter whether they lose that state by 1,000 votes or 2 million votes because it's a winner-take-all in the Electoral College. So do you know how many times in the last 4 to 5 months before the election that Trump campaigned in New York or California?
Zero.
None. Because he needed to carry a combination of Florida, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, Ohio, or Michigan. Every day when I came home from work, Trump's in Michigan, Trump's in Ohio,
Florida,
he's in North Carolina, he's in Pennsylvania. Because that's the states that he needed to carry. Now, he carried approximately, and don't quote me on my numbers because I'm just doing this off the top of my head, so he loses California and New York, and he lost those states in the popular vote by about 2 million a state.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that. And again, it's not off the top of my head. But to give you an example, he won Wyoming by 70% of the popular vote, which was 80,000 people.
Right.
So you see the point that I'm making here?
There ain't nobody there.
It's the Electoral College. It's like the analogy I like to give is like if there's a football game and one team scores 3 touchdowns and one team kicks 4 field goals, the team with 3 touchdowns wins. You can't say, well, the other team scored 4 times and this team only scored 3 times. No, it's the rules of the game.
Right.
This is the rules of the game, and he won at that. So what we can say is if you went back 4 years and said, okay, the next election we're going to decide it by the popular vote, you can make 2 conclusions. One, the outcome would be different, but we can't prognosticate that. Mm-hmm. Because two, the campaign strategies of those candidates would be different.
Right.
Trump would be spending a lot of time in California and New York.
New York, right.
Because now it would matter whether he lost by 1,000 or 2 million.
Mm-hmm.
So the popular vote thing, and look, I haven't added up all the states, but that's the strategy. He beat her at the strategy.
Right. And if it went by popular vote, what they refer to as the flyover states wouldn't matter.
Yeah.
Because there's no people there.
Right. Well, just like Wyoming. Well,
right.
You know.
None of those states that figured in this game this time and in 2012 would have mattered. New Mexico, Arizona, none of those states would have mattered. Because all you would have to do is get to coasts. And then you've got it by popular vote, right? Because they're going to carry the biggest weight. So, yeah, I don't, like, you get that East Coast, New Jersey's a tiny state. They have more population than Tennessee. And you could fit about 10 of New Jerseys into Tennessee.
Yeah, he carried Tennessee by about the same percentage that Hillary carried California. But instead of being 1,750,000 votes, it was like 60,000.
Right.
So,
right. You'd never see the man. He came to Knoxville, for God's sake. You'd never see that.
Right. So that's why, talking about the popular vote, the way the system is now, it's just irrelevant.
And here's something else we could put to bed. The Electoral College is not voting for Hillary Clinton. You think there are riots now? You wait to see what happens if they pull the lever for her here in December when they get together and vote. It will be all-out civil war.
People that will protest then won't be snot-nosed college kids living in their mom's basement.
That's right. They'll have guns, and they won't be having slogans and signs. They will open fire. Yeah. Look, there's no way they can do that. They're not going to do it. They shouldn't do it. The man won. This is our system.
And let's be clear. Everybody that knows anything about politics, they know. I mean, Hillary conceded. She's right. Not coming out and saying, I win the popular vote, because she knows how the system works.
And it's the system that has served this republic for a long time. We are not a democracy. We're a representative republic for this very reason. Other states matter, not just the giant populated states, right? So
I know most of the people listening to this podcast understand that, but share that with your damn liberal friends, because they just don't freaking get it.
Well, you know, and so we've had a pretty good conversation going on the blog about that, and Jonathan Tuttle, who we've been talking with on the blog a little
bit.
Shout out to a loyal listener. You know, he brought up a good point. You know, there are two states in the Electoral College that are not winner take all.
Right,
Nebraska and Maine. Now, Nebraska, I don't want to say it didn't matter, but it didn't figure because Trump won them all. But in Maine, he got a little bit and she got a little bit, and that kind of jams crap up. So,
well, then you got the two knuckleheads from Colorado. Are they both from Colorado that are saying they're going to cast their...
Well, Oregon, and one in Oregon, one in Colorado. Okay. Yeah, who, you know, and they may do that, but there's not going to be enough to flip it. Because it'll be a nightmare, and you don't want that. But look, you don't want democracy rule in this country. You just don't. You think you're... Yeah, you just don't want to think it through. This system works for a reason. The people who put it in place weren't stupid. The peaceful transfer of power, that's where we're at now. That's what we need to be focusing on.
All right. Well, Francis, before we wrap this up, I just want to say we're compassionate. I mean, when I said I don't care how you feel, I mean, I kind of meant it. It doesn't mean that I don't have some compassion for you Hillary voters that want me to understand how you feel. Just saying that, I want to say that tonight we're going to have a long-distance dedication, and it is a shout-out to all those Hillary supporters that are out there burning up the CVS's.
Playing with Play-Doh.
And by the way, I read the First and Second Amendment, and neither one of them mentions burning CVS's.
But Jesus, people, leave the CVS's alone!
All right, so tonight's long-distance dedication goes out to all you Hillary supporters.
This is Casey Kasem on American Top 40 in Hollywood. Now, we're up to our long-distance dedication.
No, that's
what we call compassion.
That's compassion. A UFUF first tonight, Francis.
Yeah.
This is the first time we've ever actually retired one of our, what we like to refer to as entertainment segments.
Yes. we've left a few in the dustbin, but we've never officially ever retired one.
Tonight we're retiring one of our segments, and that segment is one of Fran's favorites because he was so damn good at it.
And let's shame the devil here. This one is near and dear to Tony's heart as well. He may play the hardcore tea partier. He's going to miss this segment.
I will miss it as well. The segment we're retiring, and I will talk about this as a way to introduce a new segment that's coming, but the segment that we're retiring is Know Your Obama.
Going forward, here's the deal. Let me be clear, so we must be clear. And so I want to be very clear here.
Just to be clear, 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 clear. I also want to be clear about what we will not be doing. But make no mistake. Make no mistake. Make no mistake. Make no mistake. None of this will be easy.
It isn't easy.
It won't be easy. It wasn't easy.
President Obama, you're fired.
It is the end of Know Your Obama, but it's the start of Know Your Trump. So, not ready to do the complete bit yet, Fran.
Okay.
But just as an intro, if you were going to play any game right now, what game would you want to play?
If I was going to play... Oh, you don't want me to answer that. Okay.
If you're... No, I don't. Okay. It's kind of rhetorical.
Okay.
It's a setup. But if you were going to play any game, what game would you want to play? I have that answer. Let's take a listen.
My new game is Trump, the game.
Trump, the game where you deal for everything you ever wanted to own. Because it's not whether you win or lose, it's whether you win.
Yes!
Play Trump, the game from Milton Bradley.
I think you'll like it.
So,
where in the world did you get that?
Dude, they had a game called Trump, the game.
Well, we've got to get it.
Well, it's $129 to buy a, because it's not in production anymore.
Oh.
I looked it up on Amazon because I thought, I'm buying this for Fran. And then it's $129. I'm sorry, man.
Not gonna happen. I see where I freaking rate. Yeah. Everyone's got a price.
But our next podcast, we're going to have a Know Your Trump. So I just want to let everybody know you've got that to look forward to. That's going to be fun.
I'm going to miss the opening music from Know Your Obama. That's some quality clips.
That's some quality clips. Yeah. We might have to dust that off once in a while just for fun. But Know Your Trump could be pretty good, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, it'll be good. Yeah.
All right. Let's go to Signs of the Apocalypse.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.
Fran, Signs of the Apocalypse, what hath you wrought us?
So, Neil deGrasse Tyson started the campaign to get Pluto removed as a planet from our solar system. He was successful, right? They deemed it not a planet.
It hurt me.
That was painful for a lot of people. He's become.
I mean, spent all that time learning what they were, and then wouldn't mate anymore.
Since that time, all they've discovered about it is, you know what? It probably is a planet. And now, a NASA probe, has passed Pluto, and the pictures it sent back reveal a liquid underground ocean, a submerged. Ocean,
oh my God.
The size of the entirety of all the water on Earth.
My God.
So, first of all, Neil, want to explain to me how it can't be a planet? How it can only be an exoplanet? I mean, for God's sake, this is an ocean submerged on the planet that's as large as all the water on our planet. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
The ratios don't even match up. Secondly, even though as far as it is from the sun, its ice cap and its rocks are storing and radiating enough heat underground that it could freaking support life.
Wow.
As far as it is away from the sun.
Man, if it sent back a picture of Kevin Costner on a catamaran, I would lose my shit.
They're not done looking. They're still analyzing the photos. But anyway, so... There's my shot at Tyson on that. But...
You might have to take this up with my son. Because, you know, he's the big planet guy and the big Neil deGrasse Tyson guy.
Oh, is he a big fan of Neil?
I believe so, yeah.
Well...
I'm not a big fan.
We'll talk. But... So here's my point. It's not really apocalypse-y per se, but... It's clear we don't know jack shit about our solar system. Right? After all these years... We don't know anything.
That's what I'm screaming.
An entire freaking ocean is hiding under the ice cap of a planet whose crust has been cracked, by the way. And yet, they're saying water is the precursor to life.
Yeah.
There's an entire ocean of it as large as the entirety of the oceans on Earth. So, you know, what else are we not seeing there?
You know, it always
what
brings
life
that,
forms are we missing?
Yeah, it always brings that kind of saying, like, we always think we know everything until we don't.
And then we realize we know nothing. It's not like we know a little bit.
But then they will go on and say, no. Now we know.
Yeah.
Now we know.
Yeah. 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 Right.
It's my whole argument about the global warming nonsense. We had an ice age.
Right.
That was climate change.
Yeah.
There was nobody on the planet at that time. It happens.
Right. And it's arrogant. You're right. I would agree. The arrogance of that movement is a little weird to me.
I mean, I'm all for taking care of the planet.
It's clearly changing. The climate's changing.
I saw the other day where they're coming out with these six-pack can rings that are like biodegradable so that when people throw them in the ocean, turtles don't swim into them and get killed and stuff.
Right.
I'm all for that.
Right.
But
recycle.
Just be reasonable. I do recycle because, you know, I got the grandson now. I'm trying to, you know, save the planet. I mean, whatever I can do.
Here's all I'm saying. When the Plutonians
put my
show
liquor
up
bottles
here
in the recycling bin
and they're looking for Tyson, I'm giving him his home address. I will turn him over in a heartbeat. I'm just saying that, Neil. Just get ready. I'm not going to hide you in my basement when they come looking for you.
All right. Another wonderful episode in the books. I know I sound terrible, but I've had a cold. I had a bad cold all week, so I'm sorry.
It's the smoke. It's the fires.
And we got the smoke. It's
eyes burning.
Yeah, we got our own
studio surrounded.
Natural disasters. UF 142 in the books. We'll be back next week with 143. Hey, thanks for listening. We enjoy it. You got a comment, make it. If you want to send us an email, it's theunmail@yahoo.com. theunmail@yahoo.com for our young college students. Scribble that down.
Hit the blog. We'll respond on the blog pretty quick.
Yeah, hit the blog.
We're having a pretty good conversation right now.
All right, so we'll be back next with our next episode, which will be Know Your Trump.
Yes.
So I know Fran will be studying up on
that. Oh, I got to. I don't know. I got to study up.
All right, everybody. Stay safe. Stay sharp. We'll see you soon.
Jonah, tell all the good people night-night.
Night-night. Night-night.
Thanks for getting unfiltered and unfettered.